April 1968, the lair of the Lonon Shi. The gigs followed one after the other for the Sadhoppers. Collie was nothing if not well connected, and many of these gigs even paid a pretty penny. We were all very happy and we'd probably have went on playing these gigs until eternity, if something very troubling did not happen to upset the easy order of things. Desi, from the very first day we met at the orphanage, was always the quiet, unassuming and withdrawn sort. He was lead singer because he truly had the best voice. It wasn't out of any desire to steal the limelight from the rest of us drones. But Desi changed radically a few months into our act. He became the ultimate showman on stage, and the female folk loved him to death. He seemed to grow better looking by the day, and his voice even more powerful as we belted out ballad after ballad. It wasn't unusual for women's knickers and all kinds of frilly nylons to come flying in his direction. Oftentimes a stone was inserted into the article of clothing in the hopes of keeping it airborne as it sped like a rocket over the admiring crowds. Indeed, on one occasion, I was accidentally hit by one of these missiles. That it wasn't meant for me only served to add insult to injury, as my head throbbed in pain for the remainder of the night. Soon Desi even stopped coming to practice. We often would not see him for a full week before a gig. When we challenged him, he always replied in an arrogant manner, informing us in no uncertain terms that a talent like his did not need to practice. He was God-given. Practice, he said, was for amateurs like McCormack, Flynn and myself. Besides, he had no time for practice, for he was away in a secluded place writing his very own compositions, masterpieces that would earn and ring out his praises until the end of time. I wasn't sure what made my blood boil the most, the insult to my musical ability or the fact that he was now assuming songwriting duties. Even though I had not written a word of note yet, I always thought this would be my domain. Desi had a great voice, but a poet? A songwriter? A wordsmith? Surely not. Then there was the fact that as time went on, Desi grew paler and thinner by the day. Our disdain for his newfound arrogance soon changed to great concern for his very well-being. I had seen that last look many years before on my Uncle Ned, the look of a man that wasn't long for this orb. Ned was taken from us in strange circumstances. Something else was killing our Desi. He swore he wasn't doing drugs or drinking himself to an early grave. He claimed he was giving every ounce of energy for his art, and that we should leave well and good alone. Push any further and he'd leave the band altogether. It was clear to us if we left well and good alone, the Sadhoppers would indeed become a threesome, or indeed cease to exist at all.
You'd sooner see him dead. Your heart is always filled with jealousy.
As I practiced amongst the ruins of an old abbey outside town, I saw her shadow creep up along the wall.
You didn't help your brother. You didn't help your sisters. And you won't help Desi either.
I turned the amplifier up full volume to drown out her mad ravings. But her shadow was always there. I would help Desi. I would. One day while standing on the town bridge, in deep thought, and watching the rushing, rusty waters flowing beneath, someone tapped me on the back. It took me some time to recover from the shock, for it was Balor. He of the Evil Eyes fame. In broad daylight, the man and the mitt could not have been more completely at odds. Gone was the handsome man that drove women mad at dance halls all around the country. I only recognised him by his jacket, the famous one, the one decorated with electric light bulbs in the shape of sinister looking eyes, a showbiz phenomenon, hurled it worldwide, or at least from every corner of this fair isle of ours. But try as it might, the famous rag could not fit around that terrible porter belly. This was not the same man I'd seen only months before. Ridges of worry now decorated his forehead. His jowls hung in great lards of misery. And his once jet black hair was now lined with streaks of grey weariness. He was very much on edge and looked over his shoulders as if there was a contract put on his life. It's the Lan and She that took your Desi. A few wee moments passed before those words made any sense whatsoever. When they eventually got through, their meaning was only amplified by the awful pot-bellied sight before me. Balor was a very average musician on the country byroads to absolutely nowhere when he caught the attention of the Lan An Shi. She was the fairy lover. She was the seductive mistress from the other world. Some said she was nothing more than a myth, and that she only existed in the fevered imaginations of mad artists and wild poets. But I often heard my uncle talk about her. He said she lived in caves by lake and by sea, and preyed on artistic young men in the counties of Sligo, Mayo and Roscommon. Encounters with her, he claimed, led to tremendous artistic inspiration, but also to certain death. Balor came under her enchantment one night while playing in a derelict dance hall in the town of Ballyhaunis. When the beautiful seductress from the other world took him under her wing, Balor was transformed overnight into the most beautiful singer in the land, singing the most beautiful songs to the most beautiful people on earth. But with every ballad he crooned, with every other girl who fell in love with him, a little bit more of his soul was lost. The Lan An Shi promised him artistic fame and immortality. All she asked in return was his life source. No man could resist her lovemaking, but she drained and drained until there was very little left at all. I got out in time. The lads in the band saved me. One could not help notice the regret in his voice as he spoke those words. They saved him and set him back on the course he was always destined for. Though he was riding high in the charts that particular week, the good days were well and truly gone, and the sadness in his eyes signified that Balor knew it all only too well. I thought his current hit a poor effort myself, but his legions of fans from the good old days still worship the ground he once walked so majestically upon. But soon they'd see him in his present state, and while some would still flock to his altar, it was only a matter of time before they woke up and realized that Balor's altar was now in ruins. Your singer is doomed, if you don't do something soon. The following morning at the crack of dawn, we watched in awe as she emerged from the still waters of beautiful Loch Ree. Balor had said she swam there, in the same place every day, with her long raven black hair flowing down along her slender back. She walked in a state of blissful undress towards the mossy banks and lay down amongst the heather bushes. A man could hardly breathe, such was her beauty. Her lovemaking knew no bounds. Men trapped in the pleasure of her slithering, slender, serpentine body. They say it often lasted for weeks upon weeks. It only ended when she got up and walked away and released them to create the art her lovemaking inspired. Weak-limbed men would then emerge from the rushes and return home through the barren fields of Connacht, looking like a starved tomcat that was missing for weeks. But there was one day when they'd never come home. That was the day they had pleased their lover and she had pleased them. men who rarely lived a day beyond 40, for these were the very men who left behind Ireland's musical and literary masterpieces. "The lullaby, brother," said Dixie Flynn. "Play it, brother. Play it now." Though I firmly held the clay fife, an earthly musical instrument on which I was by no means a virtuoso, I was too transfixed on the Lannan Shee to even play a single note. But Dixie gave me a good pump on the shoulder, and the haunting advice of Balor still rang in my head. "Lull her to sleep before she lulls you to death." There's a beautiful lullaby that begins with the words, "Where the Shannon waters flow." For centuries, this ancient melody had put the most cantankerous of newborn babies to sleep, restored sanity to madmen, and even tamed the wildest of beasts in the farthest jungles of the world. Balor said, "Only this air, and only this air alone, had the power to lull the Lannan Shee to deep slumber as she lay naked by the banks of Loch Ree. Only then could a man slip into the cave beneath those mossy banks where she kept her prey. Only then could a band save the decaying soul of their troubled lead singer." With heart in my mouth, I pulled the clay fife towards my lips and started to play. It made a sound, a transcendental sound, that was more mystery of nature than artifact of man. And as the sleep-inducing music filled the air, the beautiful fairy girl's head softly fell to the side, and before long the only movement to be seen on her slender body was a sign of quiet breathing on her bountiful chest. Who could blame any man for giving his soul to a creature the like of that?
"McCormack, go quickly to the cave, brother," said Dixie Flynn, giving him a good push.
"This is ridiculous. Why do I have to dress in women's clothes?" the Don McCormack sulked.
We were certainly a frightful sight as we drove on the foggy road to Loch Ree that morning, and certainly very fortunate that no squad car was patrolling the country roads at the crack of dawn. Questions would be asked in rural Ireland as to why three grown men were dressed in women's clothing. Balor had said, "For the very same reason our poor mothers made us wear dresses as little boys. Not because they wish for a girl, but because the Shee do not steal little girls. They only sought handsome male folk of an artistic temperament."
"Though she was unlikely to prey on three ugly ducklings such as us,"
Balor said it was better to be safe than sorry.
"When I told you to get out of this business, I was offering friendly advice," said Balor. "I wasn't trying to intimidate a rival."
A chill breeze now set in as we stood on the bridge.
"Music is the only life we know," I said. "We'd all be buried 6 feet under the ground if we didn't have our music."
He looked over his shoulders again and hunched up like a terrified animal.
"There's more than the Lannan Shee after us musicians in this crazy country of ours. There's more than that. Much worse than that." With those words, he was gone. I never saw Balor again, and his name was soon added to the legions of forgotten musicians of Ireland.
It brought tears to our eyes when McCormack, comical and all as he looked, emerged from the cave 2 minutes later with Desi, almost lifeless, clinging to his shoulder. A few weeks of care and heavy surveillance would break the fairy's charm and have him back on his feet again. He'd have very little memory of this sorry episode and soon would forget all about his lover from the other worlds. I continued to play the lullaby lest she wake up, though God forgive me for thinking if I stopped there and then, perhaps she'd rouse from her deep slumber and keep Desi for good. Maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing. Then I could take over the reins of lead singer in the band.
"Go on," said that voice again. "You'd sooner see him dead. Let him die. Let him die."
"I won't let him die. I won't let him die."
I put all my lungs into that fife and banished those evil thoughts from my mind. The fife whispered the old lullaby with such power that I taught it enough to put every creature in the vicinity of Loch Ree to sleep. I may have failed my brother and sisters all those years ago, but there was no way I was going to fail my comrade now. Come on, Fergal. Let's make a quick getaway before she wakes up. As Dixie Flynn grabbed me, the fife slid from my grasp, and the lullaby ended on a sour note. It was enough to startle the Lannan Shi. She jumped up and looked around, only momentarily confused. She spotted me in the rushes like a stoat would a baby duckling. Though frozen in terror, I could only marvel at the perfect construct of nature that she was. We stared at each other for what seemed a lifetime. Fool no longer. She knew I was no harmless old biddy with a fife. She beckoned me with her big dark eyes. Oh, Fergal. Oh, Fergal. Oh, Fergal. Oh, Fergal of those lonely green eyes. It wasn't Desi at all she wanted. Oh, Fergal, it was you I wanted all along. If only I'd come to her lair. If only I'd lie down with her and entwine my body in hers. She'd inspire me to write the greatest Irish ballad of all time. Oh, how my music would illuminate the ages to come. Oh, Fergal, oh, Fergal, oh, Fergal. I turned and ran after my band, trampling through the wet, soggy rushes. When one day the history of the Sodhoppers was written, one fact would surely stand out above all the rest. We never sold our soul for a song.